Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I'd probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
This is Tech Talk.
And I like that. What is that?
That is one of my favorite artists of all time, true geek artist, Thomas Dolby.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy with Science.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. That's Michael Tech Talk. Yes, I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
Glad to have you as listeners this Saturday.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great Saturday, too. I was just on the phone a few minutes ago with our special guest that we're going to have today, Robert Wesley from Nextworth, who's going to talk to us about, all those old gadgets you've got laying around and wanting to trade up, but they're tough to do, and he can help out.
This is great.
Some ideas.
This is perfect. Very timely for me. I've got gadget fever like nobody's business. I do. I haven't had it for a while, and
What is it that's tweaking your fever?
Nothing specific. Exactly. What happened was I read online about an inexpensive tablet that had a lot of nice stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Craig, of all people. Remember, they used to make car stereos.
Oh,
and you could get it at CVS
yeah.
Pharmacy. It was in the $100 price, less than $100 actually.
Wow.
But it had four gigs of flash memory on board, an HDMI out. USB, couple USB in, so it really a decent processor, like 800 megahertz or 1,000 gigahertz or one gig processor, something like that. So I went out and they didn't have that, but they had something similar. I took it home. It wasn't exactly what I thought it would be. Took it back. But I just it got me going.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure everybody's got a little bit, the iPad 2.
Yeah, I think that's part of, I think that's just, it's sparking the fever. I don't want an iPad 2, but you hate to be the last one with a tablet,
Yeah, exactly. With anything, you hate to be the last one on the block enjoying that new technology. I keep waiting to get myself a new phone. I haven't gotten around to it, and so I've got this disposable phone still.
Yeah.
And it kills me. I was in Vegas last week, and my buddies and I were driving around and we're trying to find places, and they're all pulling out their nice fancy phones going, "Oh, I'll tell you how to get there. Hold on, let me pull up my GPS app." Or one guy's like, "Hey, I'm making reservations at the club for us tonight. Mike, can you take care of the navigation stuff?" And I just got to hang my head.
So did your manhood withstand that, or your pride, your geek pride? Can you take it? Can you?
Yeah. I at least had my Kindle. I had that. I could talk about that for a little while. It was tough. It was tough. I didn't have a lot to grab on. I literally lost my shirt in Vegas this last week. I left it at the airport.
Yeah, there you go.
Home. So
was it a nice shirt?
Actually, it was a sweatshirt. It was one of my favorite ones. I liked it a lot. It was nice and warm. It was what I was going to wear to keep me warm as we came into Chicago, which, of course, was about 30 degrees last night.
It's always a rough shock. It's a tough thing to come back to the cold after being in a nice, warm spot in a desert.
As you know quite well, coming from Jamaica just a few weeks ago.
I'm still cold. It's not fair. Did you ever go someplace and go, "This is exactly where it's always supposed to be"? It's always supposed to be nice and warm. Always supposed to live on the beach.
Yes.
Have nice drinks brought to you.
Yes.
Good food in abundance. Yeah.
That's what happens when you retire, I hear. That's the way it works then, right?
Maybe it could be.
You move someplace really warm down south,
But we were right on the beach. We went in the morning. We'd feed baby swordfishes in the water and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Or
that's,
fish.
That's
What's
fun.
The plural for swordfish? I think it's just swordfish.
Swordfish. Yeah.
Going parasailing and all that stuff.
Oh,
and
man. Well,
Yoko and I had a good time.
And speaking of the Speaking of all the gadget fever and all that other stuff, here's if you're getting excited about maybe that new PC or new laptop, this guy here I'm looking at decided he was going to make a supercomputer, but didn't want to do it with the regular PCs and all that. Instead, he created one out of 1,716 PS3s. It's actually not a guy. It's a military installation. But pretty neat that the military is doing this. The supercomputer is called the Condor supercomputer because they're using it to process visual image information of basically of about a 15 square mile plot of land so that they can view and review the changes to that plot of land and see what's happening in the past. You can go forward and backwards time-wise in it and see how things have changed or how they expect them to change if they do specific things.
Who do you love more than hardware hackers? I mean, that's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, it is neat stuff.
How many was 1,700 PS3s?
1,700 PSCs, and it puts it in the top 40 of the fastest computers in the world.
Very cool.
Just by using these PS3s.
Yeah. Now, is it cost effective? I mean, compared to what the other top 40, what they're...
Oh, yes.
A lot less expensive?
Yeah. I'm looking for the number. I thought they said it was something like 30% of the cost of what it would have been if they had tried to do this with regular PCs.
Wow.
Something like that. Because PS3s are so much cheaper. And
Do you think he had doubters along the way, though? People like, you want to do what?
You know,
and it's going to be what? No.
I don't know if you do get those kind of doubts anymore. I mean, at least not in the upper echelons of this type of construction process. Yeah. There's, you know, the people I think are getting comfortable with the idea that GPUs are very, very cost effective, and that's a graphic processing units that the PS3 uses, and really make a lot of sense for people. So it was a good successful thing. Now on the flip side of that, just to poke a stick at all you Mac users.
Just before you move on, you think he snatched a couple from his kids, his nephews, you know? Dad!
You can actually, we've talked about this on air before, you can actually take your home PS3, or a couple of them, and network them, and hack them, and homebrew them, and all this other stuff, into a really speedy demon little machine. Now, you lose the ability to play games on it.
Yeah.
Or at least PS3 games natively. But you can take them and turn them into something new. You can put Linux on it. There's a special homebrew edition of Linux that will let you network your PS3 computers together, which, you know, you're thinking, well, but then I couldn't play games. Why would I do this? So there have been some applications people have written specifically for this type of very speedy networking parallel processing. So,
These are very exciting times. I was on vacation and I picked up a novel from the library at the resort, and I didn't pay any attention to when it was written or anything. I just picked it up. It was in the paperback novel, great for vacation. I traded them two and took one home. And I didn't realize how old it was until right in the middle of it, they were talking about a special mobile lab for disaster relief or anticipation. And they said, they have the most advanced computer you can have there. It's got 10 gigabytes of storage. I immediately flipped to the title page.
Yeah.
It was from 1983.
Yeah.
You know, and that would be an incredibly...
Oh, man. In 1983,
yeah,
10 that
gigs.
Would be ridiculous.
Yeah. That would be astonishing.
Absolutely. The station owners peering in through the window.
The leader of the staff meeting that starts at 10 just got here.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was worried he was going to shut us down. You know, you guys, say something exciting. I wanted to poke a stick at all those Apple users, though, that that are always complaining that Windows is the computer that gives us the most problems. Then Apple's new MacBook Pros are just rife with glitches.
MacBook Pros?
The MacBook Pros.
Oh, because you said MacBook.
MacBook?
Yeah, I think...
I like that.
I'd copyright that if I were you.
You know, that'd fly better in Canada, I think. You know, where they got the fatback bacon.
Yeah.
And Then you get the Mac back.
Hey, they're lining up for the iPad 2 in Toronto.
Yeah,
there are long lines there.
I believe it. It looks like a nice step up from what I've seen. You know, if you've got the iPad already, and that'll be something Robert Wood can talk to us about what your options are for trading that iPad 1.
Hey, people want it. You know, I mean, it's only it can't be more than a year old at this point. It came out about a year ago, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, but people are paying pretty good money for secondhand ones.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I myself, that's one of the first things I've seen that I've like, you know, I guess that's not true. I've got an iPod and all that, but now that the iPad is out, I'm warming to the idea of becoming more Apple-y. I don't know, having Apple in my...
Oh, you're just caving to the listener pressure. They're after you.
It's true. Our good friend Steve Stewart, every time I mention any Apple product on the on air.
Yeah, so yeah, now you're about to slam the MacBook Pro.
But the MacBook Pro, however, it's
Steve, we're sorry.
It's a great machine. It's
I personally would love to have a MacBook Pro.
I would like one just so I could complain about it on air. It's a great machine. It's got a lot of speed to it and things like this, but unfortunately what they're finding is that if you run a couple of applications at the same time, the CPU heat just goes through the roof, and then the thing locks up and shuts down. And
are these particular applications or any two applications?
It's applications that tend to run very intense CPU processing, video processing type of things. One that where they were able to do it consistently, they said they were running Netflix streaming, some sort of video process app, and one other thing. Oh, and playing Civilization 5 at the same time. Yeah. They were able to make it freeze in just a matter of minutes by doing that.
And this is what you want on your lap, something that...
That's going to... it's kind of funny that, they have to say it freezes up because it gets too hot.
Yeah.
Kind of a
that's not good.
An ironic way to speak of it.
That's
But
I didn't get it right away.
Yeah, well, I know. It's all right. It's early in the morning here, and mm-hmm. It's been a few weeks, so
it's not early in the morning at all. It's before noon. Yeah, barely.
I suppose. Yeah. Well, you know what we could do? We could zoom in on Mr. Jay Garman here.
Oh, and see, man, if we can, that'd be great.
Him. We could go right for that.
Doesn't get much better than Jay Garman.
No, it's true. It's true. He's join him on. Hopefully we'll be able to get through to him. Let's see if we can make that connection.
If he listened, he'd know how nice we talk about him.
I don't think he does. I think he enjoys
that. That doesn't sound like a ring, does it?
Yeah. No.
Oh, it is.
There he is. There he is.
Jay.
We were just saying it didn't sound like the usual ring we get. Dave was worried.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're good.
All right. Outstanding. Well, Jay, we got the whole crew here today. Dave's here. He's looking a little tan still from even though it was a couple weeks ago. Myself and now you. So it's a good day today.
All we're missing is Ringo.
Did Dave bring back any cool souvenirs, tchotchkes you get in the airport, that kind of thing, or just completely forget about it?
I just have a hat for myself. I'm sorry. Yeah. You can borrow it, Jay.
I think he tried to do dreadlocks, but
I had a dreadlock tattoo on my head. Uh-oh. Is he there, Jay?
What have I missed on the show so far? What amazing topics have been covered without me?
Oh, gosh. We talked about the problem with MacBook Pros. We talked about the Condor project supercomputer, meshing a bunch of PS3s up and making something cool out of it. And we talked about Dave's gadget fever. He's currently experiencing quite a bit of gadget fever today. He wants a pad or tablet computer with a vengeance.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Non-specific gadget fever. Maybe another laptop. Two or three around the house isn't enough. You need more, I guess.
Yep. How about yourself, Jay? What kind of gadget fever are you having lately? Or you're gainfully employed. You're doing fine. You probably don't have gadget fever because you just buy what you want.
Well, I'm also ragingly cheap. So as my wife keeps reminding me, so, you know, I'm the guy that has the desktop that he's been nursing along for 8 years, slowly upgrading the RAM and the hard drive and whatnot. It's about at the end of its rope. So I'm debating whether I'm going to replace that with the desktop or get a new laptop to go along with that, because I have a work laptop and my wife has, you know, sort of her tool around the house laptop. So I got to decide if we need a new desktop or not. You know, I don't get the same sort of gadget fever a lot of people do, because I don't PC game, so I don't have to completely, you know, keep up with that arms race of video cards every 18 months or so.
Yes.
So that's not as big a deal for me. I'm an old school tabletop gamer, so, you know, my idea of spending an obscene amount of money on a pure luxury to go get the complete Battlestar Galactica board game with both expansions, what's to run you like $120 to get the whole shebang.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But it's really worth it. So that's sort of where my money evaporates, you know, you know, I want to go get a couple of copies of some source books for some role-playing games. I'm a grognard, and if any of your listeners are aware of that completely geeky term for old-school tabletop gamers, I kind of go down that road.
Yep.
So gadgets exist exclusively for me as aids for getting source books on PDFs or downloading cheat guides or that sort of thing.
Who would think that, you know, tabletop role-playing games would be considered healthy, you know? You know, in the old days, you know, the people looked upon that as sort of antisocial, people that play that. Mm-hmm. Now that's relative to what's going on now with online gaming and that sort of thing. That's probably much more social.
Yeah. I mean, at least if you're doing it the way it was meant to be done, you have to be sitting there face to face. In fact, when I saw a buddy of mine from high school last time out in Baltimore, that was one of the things we did. Is we played some original edition D&D, which hadn't AD&D, anyways, but Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. That is.
I thought you meant ADHD.
Yeah. Well, we're a little ADHD too. But We were swapping stories about how his parents banned us from playing it for quite some time because they thought that it was. I think they saw that TV miniseries about, or this special about the kids that went under the tunnels.
Yeah.
And oh, that was a tough summer when we were kept away from our role playing books.
Oh yeah. You start getting this for your oddly shaped dice.
Exactly.
You've got to have a pack.
Exactly. I remember I had a ranger named Jurgis, and he was just about to level up, and it was like, you know, and stopping at the bookstore to see what's the next thing he'll be able to do, you know, when we can finally play again. Yeah. And
we've all felt that pain, believe me.
Yeah.
Being the nerds of the world.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Today, they don't understand how hard it was. When you level up, you actually had to do math and read. So grind out skills in Azeroth for a while. No, you had to break out some obscure source books and decide whether you wanted to up your alchemy or your bardic rune casting. You know, it was hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You got it too easy today.
You guys are a couple of old school nerds, that's for sure.
Well, and Gygax didn't make it easy either. He was not a part of the Monty Hall, you know, type of gaming. And so, especially if you had a multi-class character, which Ranger sort of fell into, you really had to work hard to get those guys moving. So, so it was.
I think we only had paired off like at least 75% of your listeners.
Yeah,
you know, you're
me is a sign of success.
But the good ones are left, though.
Hey, you started it with the grognard comment. I hadn't heard that word in many a moon. So, well, Jay, now speaking of not hearing something for many a moon, I'm trying to recall exactly what the trivia question was. I know last week we answered the question about Douglas Adams and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the theme song and so on, but I'm struggling to recall our trivia question from last week.
It involves the venerable space probe Mariner 10, which was 27 years ago this week, became the first spacecraft to make a flyby of Mercury, and to date the only one. But the Mariner 10 is sort of lauded in like space probe history by a whole, by space nerds, of which I am slightly one, because it broke ground on so many different levels. And the question we asked was, what two different types of propulsion was Mariner 10 the first spacecraft to use?
Oh, that's right.
The first one that it broke was the gravitational slingshot of actually intentionally doing a close pass of a planet to change your course. Mariner 10 was the first one to do that. It used Venus to slingshot it around so it could make an intercept with Mercury. No one was entirely sure they could pull that off until Mariner 10 did it in the 70s, and they managed it. It was pretty impressive, and that was the first one. But Mariner 10, being Mariner 10, wasn't satisfied with that. So it's also the first spacecraft to have ever successfully used radiation pressure as a method of propulsion, which is the same technique used in solar sails. It literally used its high-gain antenna and its solar panels to intentionally reflect solar wind to navigate towards Mercury, which is unbelievably difficult to calculate. It's like, it's just the math in it is unreal. Yeah. And they proved you could do it successfully, even with just sort of crude solar panels.
Wow. How much did that actually, I mean, I just can't see that being incredibly effective, you know, at that scale, or, you know, with, like you said, with these rather crude solar panels and so on. Whenever I think of a solar sail, I'm thinking of, you know, something huge, you know, that's got to be just, you know, a kilometer in width and stuff, just to move something that's a few, you know, a few pounds.
Well, your math is not wrong on that. It's called the Yarkovsky effect, which is basically admitting that any electromagnetic radiation, when it reflects off something, does actually impart kinetic energy. Now, the Yarkovsky effect is way more complicated than that, but that's sort of what it boils down to. And what Mariner 10 did is they knew the math on it well enough that they could actually angle the solar panels and the high-gain antenna just enough that they didn't have to burn any fuel doing minor course corrections, because there's always a certain margin of error in all of your navigation, especially when you're using, like, gravitational slingshots. Mm-hmm. So they didn't want to have to burn any extra of their actual chemical fuel to just keep it on course. So they experimented with just enough reflection over the long distance between Venus and Mercury to keep it tacking just enough into the solar wind that they never had to burn those little, like, half-second thruster bursts to keep it online. But that was, like, radical. It's still pretty impressive, but it was radical at the time because, you know, the Voyager probes never were able to do any of that, not only the Pioneers. The other thing that Mariner 10 had going for it that those other probes didn't is it was much closer to the sun, where there's a whole lot more radiation playing around, just enough that they could actually tack it that way. But in terms of actually, like, using a solar sail as your only means of propulsion, where you sort of have zero velocity when you start, you're correct. You need massive, massive surface area of a very, very lightweight reflective material pulling a very, very, very small craft.
Yep.
But bear in mind that, like, almost every asteroid in the asteroid belt that has any sort of rotational spin has it because of radiation pressure, not because of impacts, not because of any sort of... It's because just over time, enough sunlight has hit it in an uneven manner that it's spun the asteroid. You know, geology is pressure and time, and so is planetary mechanics.
Huh, interesting. I didn't realize that. That would not have occurred to me. you know, you always envision them spinning, but never thought about why, you know, or how they're spinning. I assumed it was just, you know, gravitational effects or something along those lines that that would have done that. Boy, you know, it just the more you learn about stuff, the more complicated it gets.
Absolutely. That's why I get more impressed with NASA every time they do something, because they have to account for so many variables in advance and mm-hmm. predict such complex systems so far down the line. I mean, these lunatics had this nickname for the play of gravitational bodies in the solar system called the Interplanetary Transport Network, and they've got some math laid out that with just a certain amount of initial velocity, you could literally fly by every planet in the solar system and technically never burn fuel if you're willing to go slow enough. Like, literally bounce between all of them, slingshot around every single one, and never burn fuel if your math is good enough and you start up at initial velocity.
Wow.
That boggles the mind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and even more so to me is thinking about even contemplating that trip to the moon, but back in the late 60s, early 70s, far before microprocessors, before transistors, before, you know, all these things that allowed us to make these sort of calculations very quickly. You know, picturing a couple dozen people in a room with slide rulers and trying to make sure they don't make a major mistake that's going to, you know, cause someone's life to be lost. And it just, yeah, it's shocking. Shocking. Well, Jay, we should move along here. We actually have a guest who's probably waiting right now and thinking, boy, Mike said I was going to call me at 10:20 or 10:25, and here we're after the point. But what geek trivia should we be thinking about for this coming week?
Well, this coming week includes April Fool's Day, so I got some April Fool's Day trivia.
Yay!
The tradition of April Fool's is actually derived from an offhand reference by a medieval poet and author. And what's really funny about it is it's almost entirely misinterpreted. So what medieval poet and author is indirectly responsible for the modern celebration of April Fool's Day?
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Now this hits, yeah, this hits right into my, I love this kind of stuff because it always finding out the true story of things that we think we know about is always, I find always fascinating. So that's a good one. That is a good one.
Can't wait to hear the answer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Jay, I'm gonna rush us to a close here and move us along. But as always, thank you so much for coming on. And people can find you, of course, at jgarman.net. And they'll also, too, be able to see you. You're going to be at when does Congregation occur down in Louisville?
Agglomeration will be Easter weekend, April 22nd to the 24th, and you can register to attend our science fiction bonanza with Peter David, author of The Incredible Hulk for 10 years, and Andy Chambers, the creative director of StarCraft II, at conglomeration.info.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool.
Conglomeration.info.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, hey, thanks again, Jay. Take care. Have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, fellas. Bye.
Take care, Jay.
Always great to have Jay. You know, that's the only reason I'm always like a little bit, I'm like, oh, darn, we've got a guest today. Because, you know, I can always talk to Jay and spend so much time with Jay.
Unlike Jay, our guests probably listen. So. I'm sure you're making a guest feel great.
Actually, I know that Robert is listening. It was certainly not a slam against Robert. Robert, we're going to be with you. That's Robert Wesley from Nextworth is going to be on with us in less than 3 minutes. We got to take a quick step back from the mic and let some of these promos and spots and things go for us, but we'll be right back at you. Stay tuned. In just a minute, we're going to be talking to Nextworth about how to trade in some of that old geek gadgetry that you've got.
Can't wait to hear.
You're listening to Tech Talk.
Sounds very interesting. Can't wait.
WRLR, Round Lake Heights, Illinois. 98.3 FM.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Take a trip back in time to the 50s through the 70s by tuning in to Rock and Roll Revival on Monday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. here on WRLR 98.3 FM.
The State Farm Insurance Agency of Alex Pizarro is a proud sponsor of WRLR and is there for all your automobile and homeowner insurance needs. The State Farm Insurance Agency of Alex Pizarro is located just north of the corner of Route 134 and Cedar Lake Road in downtown Round Lake, Illinois, and opens at 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday, with evening hours until 7:30 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Their phone number is 847-740-5713, and their website is www.pizarroagency.com.
Need a late night chuckle? And after dinner maybe? Whether it's classic or contemporary, parody or satire, we play it all on Super Happy Fun Time. From Bob Newhart to Bill Engvall, from Weird Al to whatever, we have a little of everything to make sure everyone's having a super happy fun time. Your host, Coffee and the Fox, will meet and exceed your daily laugh quota every Wednesday from 10 to 11 p.m. That's Super Happy Fun Time right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
All right.
I don't know.
We are back.
Like that music.
That's a little Robots by Dan Morgan. Dan Mangan from Robots vs. Indians album.
Ah.
One of the songs I've got.
I'd like to see that movie.
I've got Cube. But,
Never mind the CD.
Something I'll be playing for us, one of the podcast-only songs of the week coming up soon.
Oh, good. Looking forward to that.
Not today, though. I got something different for you today. But I'm going to jump in here. I'm not going to waste any time. We've been putting them off.
Really?
It's too late for that now, right? But we may have to cut our podcast-only song of the week a little short.
Hello.
This week. Good morning, Mr. Wesley. Apologies for being a little bit later off the gun here than I thought we would be. Glad that you picked up, too. You warned me you were going to be listening.
Yeah, I was listening, actually. I heard everything.
Oh, no.
So
we're sorry.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, actually.
Oh, good.
We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. And it worked out well because Dave came right in all fired up with gadget fever and wanting to make a trade in possibly for some of the newer technology. And of course that just segues so perfectly into yourself and Nextworth. Why don't you, I've tried to do a little bit of explaining, but I don't think I've done a great job of it. If you could tell us, what is Nextworth and what is your role with Nextworth too?
Well, first of all, I understand that having listened to a couple of your shows, you have a magic dial that can cut out the static. So if you, I don't know how, that's better. I've heard a little bit about your show before. But what Nextworth really does is it does a couple of things. First, for consumers, it cuts down the cost of ownership or moving up and trading up to the new, latest, greatest gadget. And the second thing that really we do is we really help the environment because a lot of these old gadgets end up in a landfill unless they're properly recycled. And unfortunately, very few of them are. And so we think we're making the planet a little bit better place as well. So we're making your pocketbook a little greener and I guess the planet a little greener as well.
Yeah,
sounds like a great service.
Well, we'd like to think so. Yeah. And you know, I was talking to you. I guess is it Dave? You have iPad envy or
yeah? Fever? Well, I played with tablets years ago and stopped doing it because of their limitations, and so that had me kind of turned off to tablets a bit. And now with with their greater capability, it's piqued my interest again.
Right. So just think about it. Think if you just bought the iPad about a year, maybe not a little bit less, actually almost exactly a year ago, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden the iPad 2 comes out, it has FaceTime and all these great new features, new a little more CPU, and you'd love to trade up. So you could think about it, well, I've just thrown away a couple hundred dollars and buying the first one, and now I have to go and plunk down a whole bunch of money to go buy the new one. But with our program, what we allow you to do is trade in your old iPad and get cash for it and trade up to the newest one. So your cost of ownership actually dropped. And I think it also changes the way you start to think about how you buy new gadgets as well. The interesting things is that when people buy cars, they look at the, how much am I going to be able to trade that car in the future? Well, now when you start looking at gadgets, you say, well, what is really my cost of ownership over that period of time? Is it going to be, is it really going to be the $499 I have to plunk down for a brand new unit? or is it going to only be $100 or $200?
Yep. Yeah. And now this used to happen a lot. I know with me with cell phones. I would get a new cell phone, and then it would always seem like about 6 months later. And of course, you know, Verizon and AT&T, they got this new and two kind of deal, but it was always, you know, that waiting for that year and a half to finally fade out. But with that, now those programs are dying. The cell phone ones are going away. We were talking about Verizon and both. I think it's both Verizon and AT&T don't do that anymore. But Nextworth does still, right? You guys will take even cell phones and now for that kind of a trend?
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know, if you're really clever, you can almost make money, you know, if you trade in and trade up at the right time. So I'll give you an example. The iPhone 4 launch back in June of last year. If you opted in, you were, let's say, an AT&T subscriber, you had an iPhone 3GS, and you were approaching your contract within a year and a half, they let you trade in early. You could have actually probably traded in, if you did it at the right time, just as the announcement was made, for $260. And, you know, and your upgrade to the new contract would have been $199. So you would have been able to put some money in your pocket or spend it on some accessories. So there's a real art to when and the timing of when you want to trade in. Sometimes people, I think, hold on to devices just a little bit too long.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got a basement full of those.
Yeah, well, it sounded like Mike holds on to his phones a little bit longer, I heard.
Yeah.
He had a little phone envy in Vegas, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm in between phone purchases now, so I don't even have a smartphone. It makes me itchy every time I'm around people that do now.
How do you look? I mean, it's really hard, man.
It's tough. It is tough. Believe me, I'm not enjoying it, but I'm not quite yet ready to make that plunge. And I know, of course, Apple is coming out with new iPhones all the time. So I'm kind of holding off. I'm not quite sure what to do. I'm watching this whole RIM thing happening as well. Now I would imagine that, of course, you know, specific. For people that are looking to purchase something right now and want to keep that in mind, is there a way to go about that that you would recommend to say, here's a way to make sure that you're going to get the best trade-in value for something that you buy? You know, if you're getting a phone, you know, focus on these brands because they're most popular, or is there a way to check and see what things are going for right now?
Yeah, well, there's a couple ways to actually look at it. First thing is, you know, anybody, once you buy a new gadget, I think the first thing is most important is you got to take care of it. And there's a couple of principles. Number one, I'd keep the original box. I'd put immediately a screen protector on and a case around it. Because, you know, to the extent that your phone is damaged or, you know, and certainly it's going to get scratched up or something like that. But to the extent that happens, it loses value. And to the extent you're able to keep your original, you know, cables and boxes and instructions, and that's for anything, whether it's a phone or a video game or whatever, you'll be able to increase the value. But then, you know, actually I've been having a big debate with a number of folks in the industry about what I think is going to be the most valuable handset right now. Right now I think Apple iPhones are really the most valuable in terms of a trade-in value, and probably have the lowest cost of ownership over the long term. And that's because there's a really great trade-up market for them. They've done, you know, certainly the handsets are really good. There are some flaws with the handsets, let's face it. You know, I just got the new iPhone 4 from Verizon, and it has a little bit of a death grip issue associated with it. You know, if you hold it the wrong way, you'll have some problems. But they're, you know, the overall handset works well, and with the Apple Store and the iTunes and the marketing, because it's really become a fashion device, that is holds its value a lot more than, let's say, some of the Droids do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because we're seeing a completely different approach where Google is basically developing their own operating system and handing it out to different handset manufacturers, and there isn't the same panache around that whole handset. So we're seeing that iPhones are really very valuable, and we're also seeing that anybody who buys an iPhone, tends to hold on to it and trade in and trade up. It's almost like lemmings. It's almost like spring eternally coming. Every June, when the new iPhone release comes out, guess what? Those loyal iPhone users trade up.
Yeah.
And we see it a lot.
Yeah. I've read a lot about that as well. That it's for whatever reason they really. And I've never owned an iPhone myself, although I'm definitely considering it for this next purchase. But the people that own the iPhones do seem more than willing to plunk that extra couple hundred bucks down every year to get that new one. This would be a way to probably cut that a little bit short. Now one thing that I saw going back to the tablet idea, actually the rep that we worked through when we were trying to set up the interview with you, Bob, sent me a little graph here about the tablets and how the tablets are ranked, and there's a percentage next to it. I'm assuming is the percentage of returned value that you can get for trading in. The top line one, if you don't have this chart, just tell me, we'll try to figure it out. But the top line gadget is the Apple iPad 16 gig Wi-Fi,
right,
and 3G, and has got a 50. Is that true? A 52% return value on that?
Yeah. So actually, if I'm, I don't have the chart in front of me, but I sort of remember it pretty vividly. The most traded in item was the 16 gigabyte Wi-Fi, not the Wi-Fi plus 3G. The second one was the 64 gigabyte Wi-Fi plus 3G iPad. And you're right. So it did have that high multiple. Well, like right now, let's see. We just actually dropped the prices, and that's part of the thing. Like for example, 2 days ago, you would have gotten for the 64 gigabyte, you would have gotten $375. We just dropped the price. It's now down to $355 for the new 64 gigabyte. And so if you look at, I guess, what the retail value was, somewhere around $829 now for the new iPad 2. I guess it was $355. I think it was around $800. So right there, we're talking about a little bit less than a 50%, 48% TIV index. So it's still pretty high. Looping anywhere around 50% of your original value in less than a year, about a year later, that's probably not too bad.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And I see the Kindle with Wi-Fi on there as well for about 50% and so on. I've got a Kindle myself. those I'm surprised that would be traded in as frequently, just because you'd think that the half-life on that would not be nearly as short as the iPads are. And this also, too, of course, begs the question. Now, Nextworth makes it easy for you to trade in your equipment, but say you're in the market to purchase something new, these traded in items, what happens to them? I mean, do you guys process them yourself, or are they going through retail outlets, or what is the way, in what way does Nextworth make it, how do you handle these pieces of equipment?
Yes, and yes. First of all, when we receive in an item, we do process it, and we try to add value to it. And it can be as simple as, let's say we get in a new an old iPhone. We'll take it and put in some new cables, some new earbuds, new charger, and then buff it up so it looks new, put it in a great new package, and with a set of instructions and a warranty. And then we'll sell it. And we're able to sell it on, markets like, Amazon or eBay, but we also sell it, we repackage it and resell it to retailers. And sometimes we sell to wholesalers that want it in different countries. Mm-hmm. So it depends upon the product and what the demand is. And we have a pretty extensive set of networks where we can actually sell it in many different places, and that allows us to to really offer what we think is the top prices. The second thing that we work with is the reason our company really built was really to help retailers. Help them do trade-in, trade-up programs. And so we've partnered with a couple, and one is Target recently, and we actually try to create instantaneous situations where you can go in, like they sell mobile phones now. They just, in fact, started today or yesterday selling the iPhone 4 for Verizon. You could take your old iPhone in and you could trade up. If you wanted to stay with AT&T, you could trade up for an AT&T iPhone 4. If you wanted to move across to Verizon, you could trade up there. And you can get that instant value, and you get it in a gift card, and you can use it for a phone, or you could use it to buy diapers, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever your needs.
Well, and I like this. I've got to say, and I generally don't want to do straight comparisons, but Best Buy has got a somewhat similar trade-in sort of thing, but you have to commit to it when you purchase your equipment, whereas I prefer this Next Worth idea where, you know, you make the decision when you're ready to trade up, not prior to that, and you're not paying anything to have that future option.
Right. Yeah, one of the things that I think is great is that there is now a growing awareness of you shouldn't just throw your phone away and put it in the landfill. And I think that's great. And we like the fact that Best Buy is doing those types of programs, but you know, we're trying to provide the most flexibility. And, you know, if you want to trade in on our website, you know, we'll give you cash. If you want to go to one of our participating retailers, then they'll give you a gift card and you can go and spend it the way you want. And we want to create that flexibility as much as possible.
Yep. That is pretty cool. I assume that there's equipment that just has absolutely no value at all. You talked about recycling and things like this. Do you still have anything in place that would manage that sort of equipment?
Yes. Well, we, you know, part of our mantra is that we're trying to create a greener planet. So we follow pretty strict recycling-based protocols. And in fact, we're able to actually recoup 90% of everything that we receive, you know, and, you know, use it as parts or whatever. For that stuff, can't. What we do is we send it to a U.S. recycler. We get certificates for it of destructions, et cetera. And they pulverize it and actually use that old material in the, you know, manufacturing of new consumer electronics. So it is pretty efficient type of, and, you know, like we'll offer you unique things with our retailer. One of the retailers with Target, what we set up was bring in your phone, and if it doesn't have any value, and Mike, you know, you better hurry up because I'm not sure whether yours will or not.
It didn't have any value when
we'll
I bought
it. We'll let you recycle it right there at the store, and hopefully get you a real smartphone. So
get you a candy bar.
There you go. Something that. Oh man. Yeah. Well, it's funny because I do. Actually, I have. I want to say three Blackberries, three RIM-based phones at home that I just haven't, you know, it's like I said, I know there's no value to it, and I've seen some of these trade-in things before, but they're just sitting on on my desk. But it might not be a bad thing to bring those in and see what we can do with
yep,
those.
Yep, yep, yep. I know we have some Targets in the Chicago area, and probably one near you. You can go on our site, or you can go and find the electronics program on Target site, and there's a map to them. And we're just we're kind of excited about this because we're expanding it. We grew to 850 stores, and we're now probably going to about 1,400 stores nationwide with them. And then we're growing in other places too. I mean, even college campuses are starting to do this program, which is pretty exciting.
Oh, that is neat. That is neat. Now, if I know that it doesn't hit all, not all Target stores are offering it right now. So the best place to go to figure out which Target stores are doing this would it be to go to Target.com, or is there is going to your website better?
Yeah, if you go to you can go to nextworth.com, and there's a map store finder. It's simple. You just put in your zip code and it'll tell you the closest store. And if you you could also go to target.nextworth.com, and you can find that also directly from the target.com site, and you just go and look for the electronics trade-in program, and it'll direct you right there. And right on the top, there's a map, and you just enter in your zip code, and it'll tell you how close one store is.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Man, well, just so that people are very aware of where they can go to get more information, that would be tell us the name of the website again.
Go to nextworth.com, www.nextworth.com. So just think about what is the next worth of your device going to be.
Very good.
I love the name of the site.
Yeah.
I love the idea. This is fantastic. It's so much of our stuff winds up just, unused or And as you said, in landfills, and it's great that you're maximizing the use of it. And,
well, and we believe that the average American household probably has over $1,000 that's sitting around that they could monetize. And I think everybody could use a couple hundred dollars or $1,000 more, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this could also help close the digital divide, if that's even still a term that's used, you know, getting less expensive electronics in the people's hands,
right,
that can afford it.
That's right. That's
right. Right. And you can buy, you know, used electronics. I mean, you know, we certainly sell it, you know, sell it direct to consumer. You can go to the Great iPod Exchange where we sell some of the stuff. We also, you know, people can go to Amazon and eBay. I mean, there's some great prices. Look for the right seller. I think it's important, you know, and I think the things you should look for, do they give a warranty or not? And look at how they're rated. And you can buy some great secondhand stuff. And, hey, secondhand iPhones and secondhand iPad tablets and video games are really, you know, pretty good. I mean, one of the other things we love trading in is video games. And it's we can make them look like new, and people love them.
Yep.
Sure. And not to mention, if you want to trial something, if you want to try something out, why, you know, you don't want to spend $800 for a brand new iPad 2, spend half or so and get the last year's model.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you could probably spend about $390 and get the iPad Wi-Fi 16 gigabyte, you know, today, you know, if you wanted to go out and buy. And that's a lot cheaper than the $499 for the iPad 2, at, you know,
yep,
16 gigabyte Wi-Fi. So.
Yeah, not bad, not bad at all. And I got to say too, the website nextworth.com is real easy to get around in. If you know, if you're listening right now and you're thinking, I don't want to hassle with this and whatever, it actually is quite simple to understand, quite simple to see what you're doing, and to get in there and find the equipment that you're looking for, either to trade in or to pick up yourself. And Rob, I've got to cut it short. We're running right up against the wall here for time. I apologize. We started off a little bit late. It's another one of those conversations where it's like, man, if we had about 15 more minutes here, we'd be able to get in the
well,
big
maybe
stuff.
We'll come back and tell you what's hot next coming up. I mean, like the 3DS or the new iPhone 5 launch.
You know,
that's interesting thing to your
that's not a bad idea. Let's keep in touch and let's see about if we can make sure we touch base every once in a while when we've got some new hot stuff coming out that people are going to get, like as Dave said, his gadget fever going in the morning.
Yes.
Robert, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciated your time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank
Have
you. Great
day.
Job. Great job.
Take care.
Yeah.
That was Robert Wesley.
That's not helping with my gadget
from
fever.
From Nextworth.
Yeah.
It's easier than ever to pick this stuff up. You shouldn't even be thinking about it anymore. You should just be going right on.
And one of the reasons, one of the things that even tempers my gadget fever is the fact that I've got so much junk down in the basement. If I could get rid of that junk, you know, then I could get more junk.
Well, and that's the one part we didn't really talk about, was that it's not just about the money you get, but man, being able to swap that out.
Yeah, and get rid of your geek guilt, you know, for, you know, fouling the planet even more with old electronics.
Exactly.
So it's great to have that, you know, to actually do some good with that old stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Hey, I've got time for, I don't really, but I'm going to make it. I'm not even going to play the tunes. We're going to do a cool side of the week. Anyways, I'm going to throw this out one. This one's actually, I'm putting this out for my son, Adam. He's
cool. That's really cool.
He's 11 years old. Everybody at school's got video games and websites and all this other business. So he comes to me and he asks me, Dad, I really want a website. Can you help me set up a website? I want to let people know about, you know, the music I like, about the games that I play, and the things that are happening with me and all this. And the first thought was, well, heck yeah, here we go. I'm going to have to set up, you know, a website. We're going to pay for a domain name. I'm going to have to show them how to use Dreamweaver or some other type of editor. No. Don't do that, guys. If you're thinking about setting up a website, you don't need to do anything super fancy or super extreme or anything like that. There are a lot of great places out that you can get your own free website very quickly set up and do all these links and things. The one that I set him up with I sound like a fanatic about this company, Google Sites. You go to sites.google.com. takes no time at all. Set up a Google email address. Doesn't have to be the one that's your main one. Set up a separate one if you want to. Whatever you want to do. Walks you through the whole process, gives you templates that are built in already for setting things up. It's got a comment and chat area. It's got links areas that you can put stuff
cool.
in. The method for putting new links and for things in there is very, very similar to Google Docs. If you're using Google Docs...
Does it have a message board function?
Got a message board function.
Oh, man.
It's just slick. Links directly in with Google Image and YouTube and all this. You know, I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. But it sounds fantastic. Oh my God.
It's really neat.
Lots of great features.
Yeah, and like I said, if you're just looking for a dead easy way to throw some stuff up, and you know, maybe you want to put your resume up on something so that people can find it easier, you set that up and it gives you your own URL. It'll be sites.google.com/ sites or pages / your whatever.
You get it, Mike. We're running out of time.
All right. I apologize. We're going way off time. You get me talking about stuff I love. All right. So this
is kind of my job.
Yeah, I know.
A good co-host doesn't go away. Well, shut up now.
It's true. I'm going to leave us with a podcast-only song of the week. This is in Dave and Jay's honor here. It's since your recent trip to Jamaica. Come on.
Yeah.
This is called Ja Is Real. And it's by Burning Spear. Listen.
Oh, love Burning Spear.
Really good stuff. A little reggae to end out our day. We're leaving you with that. Ja Is Real. Thank you for listening to Tech Talk on WRLR.
Think warm thoughts. See you later.
Cross the river, then they shove you in the river. And grateful ones, I know they. Jah is real, Jah is real, Jah is real. Jah is real, Jah is real, Jah is real. Someone can ask you for a favor, and then they try to take over. And if you never grant that favor, that's why they will try to take over. Ungrateful ones, I know they name. Jah is real, Jah is real, Jah is real. Jah is real, Jah is real, Jah is real. There seems to be confusing, want to confuse a business. Ungrateful ones, I know they hate. Jah is real, Jah is real, Jah is real. Jah is real, Jah is real, Jah is real. And Jah will help I to overcome the devil. Ungrateful ones. Care about themselves, care about